shut us down, but I tell them they can blow me. It's that cold heat, got me shivering, chest burning.
Welcome everybody to the Super Kickback. We have over here messing with the remote, Joe.
What up, yo?
In the kitchen mixing up drinks, we have Rose.
What to do?
And here at the door, your host with the most, giving a toast, cheers, Deontay. Unfortunately, we're missing one member. Our buddy Cameron went out to go get some drinks. But yeah, we're just going to give a quick little recap. I say quick, that's a big lie. We're here to gush about WrestleMania 40. How's everybody doing today?
I'm excited.
I'm so happy with what I saw this weekend.
Oh my gosh, me too. I want to say this is the first year of the WrestleManias having two nights that I'm satisfied with both nights.
Agreed.
Same here, dude. I was really, really happy to see that both, almost like 10 out of 10 performances both nights.
I didn't expect them to actually pull it off. But this is also a big thing that this is the first Mania without Vince.
True.
I'm very happy that Paul Levesque himself got to come down to the ring and say, this is WrestleMania. And it truly be his moment to showcase what he could do.
Right. They're being very clear that this is a new era of wrestling. And, you know, I've been joking for a while since Vince was out and Paul had a little bit of control that we need to come up with a name for this era, kind of like how we had the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era, PG Era, which we're just coming out of, especially with all the cussing that The Rock's doing. We're definitely out of the PG Era. Any ideas for a name for this?
I mean, it feels like it's the re-attitude adjustment in a sense, if you think about it.
Another Attitude Era.
Yeah, pretty much. But not as raunchy as the first one.
not as gross.
No. Yeah,
exactly.
Feel it good without there, the feeling up.
But it could get there. Who knows?
You know?
You never know. You might see Angelo Dawkins throwing it back in a G-string one day.
I think New Day would try to corner it first before they get to them.
Mm-hmm. Or true. DIY, since, you know, R-Truth says it's Sean and Hunter. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, they're not DIY. They're DIX.
Why?
Please don't call them the Dixie Dudes.
We are.
Oh no! Let's not go there with
let's
them.
Not go, let's all. Yeah. Let's.
I want to remember Gargano and Ciampa having one of the best NXT feuds of all time.
DIX.
That's going to be a thing. That is eventually going to be a thing.
I can't wait for the sign, the DI with the green X.
I mean, they already started with like the little, you know, animations and whatnot. And they did kind of come out with, Gargano did come out with the cowboy hat. So
I liked their X-Men inspired ring gear that they were wearing on the shows. And I hate to say this. I know Gargano loves Wolverine, but standing next to Tommaso Ciampa, you are Cyclops.
Absolutely.
You are Cyclops. You just have to eat that. You're Cyclops when you're next to Ciampa.
But who would Ciampa be, though?
He'd be Wolverine.
He's Wolverine.
Yeah, he's definitely Wolverine. He is the Wolverine.
But, so let's just get into it. Night one. What match did we start off with, Joe?
The World Championship from the women's side, Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch.
My goodness. We started off with some pretty good entrances, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of the things about WrestleMania I look forward to the most is these flashy entrances, right? It's when they start throwing the bank at people and let them have their imagination. So, specifically with Rhea having emotionless and silence out there to perform her theme was great. Even though, you know, it's eerie if you like squint
It looked like her before like, her long hair.
Chris motionless out there. I'm like, oh, Rhea, no, baby.
No, why, baby, no.
Yeah, don't let this be you, please. And then the hair extensions, and I'm just like, please let her be herself. I wanted to see the short hair.
I don't mind the hair. I don't mind
it's
the hair at
weird,
all.
It's weird, though, because we've seen her. We've seen her with short hair for so long. The last time you saw her with long hair was when she was coming into NXT UK.
Yeah, I'm not as bugged by it. I think it's a decent look. But also, I'm just really used to the women around me changing their hair all the time. So,
fair point.
I'm not looking at your head like that.
I'm looking to see the product in the ring. Speaking of which,
I was going to say the face, but okay.
That's you. Well, everything was on point, basically, from the entrances, especially Becky's getting to see the virtual reality of her book opening up to select passages in the book itself.
Okay. They should have actually done, like, an actual book, because remember when New Day came out in the box of Bootios?
Oh, yeah.
They could have had her come out in an actual book, like,
and, like, have her be, like, a cutout, like, a pages, and then she's in it, like, you're stashing something.
I'm gonna be honest, I would have fucking hated that.
You would have?
Why?
I would have fucking hated that. That would have been mad cheese. I would have asked myself why, and the answer would have been, oh, she wrote a book. And then I would have hated it even more.
See, I like the virtual reality, the door opening, so that way when she appeared, the door on the book opened, then it faded away.
Like, I think it was all right the way it is, because it's more about the passages, mm-hmm. and then not the book itself, right? Because a lot of those motherfuckers wrote a book.
Yeah.
It's more so about the contents of it, right? So taking the quotes and highlighting the quotes and throwing that into her entrance was pretty good. Plus, also, with the energy she has with her entrance, I think a book kind of would have broke that. You know, she would have had to, like, come out with a special theme.
Yeah.
Walk a little slower.
There's also the points of Roses, though, that she is the content in the book. Like, the book content is her. So, I mean, I could get the action figure box opening, whatever, the book, but I think it was a really cool way for them to channel their VR capabilities with having, like, her come through the book itself. But I also like the attention to detail with her costume, where they had the passages, like, in the white parts of her costume.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys notice, like, her knee pads had, like, passages on it. The cape had pages. It was, like, one big metaphorical, like, symbolism for her entire, what she was going for the weekend in her introduction. I thought that was unique, especially with, like, the red and black colors, too. Almost like a Marlboro cigarette box. I kind of got that vibe from it with the sharp angles.
I was kind of thinking it was, like, Dark Phoenix type deal, but I'm like, I don't think they're going all out with, like, you know, comic characters right now.
Coloring with her, well, she herself isn't, like, a huge comic fan, mm-hmm. from my understanding.
Mm.
But I just know she wears those colors a lot.
It needs to change. That's all I'm saying. Now, I'm like, the whole outfit's got to change. Like, it's just a little much. Just a little.
It's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's got to be much.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot. Actually, I mean, wait till we get to when we talk about her husband. That's for day two. That's for day one and day two.
That man shows out on a regular Monday, which you think he was going to do for me.
Absolutely.
Top the Astro Boy boots, though? How do you top that?
I mean, you gotta try.
He certainly did.
You gotta try.
He really did.
He certainly did. All right, so this match with Becky and Rhea, how do we feel about the result?
I like it because it solidifies her spot as Muscle Mommy in the group. Like, yes. She has the women's title. Like, and she is a proud solo champion in the group of Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm. I personally think it's good for her, not so good for the title.
The reason
I say that is because, like, we're at the point now where Rhea isn't having a lot of great match. Like, this feud was probably the best feud she'd had in a while. Before that, it was just stagnation with wondering how long until her next retention, right? We're now like in a place where we actively have to build somebody else now, which couldn't, it isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just don't trust our track history behind it.
But again, right? It's a whole new era now. So I was totally okay with this. I actually expected her to win, and now I want to see where it leads to, especially who her next feud is going to be with, because it's the amount of possibilities.
I'm not going to throw it. That's my thing. Like, I don't think there is an amount of possibilities anymore because she's nixed like a majority of the roster. It's to the point now where we've said, okay, the question of who can compete with her has shifted now from being who on the roster can compete with her to who can we bring in to do this? Because with this latest win, it's established that at least nobody on Raw is touching her. The only talent that could possibly build toward that is on SmackDown right now. And I think that was a clear choice. That was a clear choice.
So is she entering that Charlotte realm of like, all right, we already have a goddess now?
No, because Charlotte lost as much as she won. That's the thing. Charlotte, her turnarounds were like fairly, I won't say quick, but she would have like months stints. Like, not a month long, but like she'll go like 9 months or something like that.
And remember, in the beginning, too, when they did split the titles, when it was Raw and SmackDown, remember, her and Sasha kept going at it every like 2 weeks. Because Sasha would win it at a pay-per-view or on a Raw or vice versa. So she has a lot. She's like at, what, 15 title, like in total, combined for both Raw, SmackDown, and NXT? She's like at 15, so it kind of...
It's the Brock Lesnar problem. It's just the Brock Lesnar problem with Rhea now. And it's like, are we going to bring someone up from NXT and try to put us in the position to believe that they can take out the top talent? Are we going to keep the belt on her for an extra 6 months while we develop somebody else?
And I think the answer there could be yes. For that window, like, you have to buy time now.
It could be, but like I said, they backed themselves into a position where that's damn near their only option.
Yeah,
right. And if that doesn't go through, then you just shot yourself. Wait,
so did Tiffany Stratton sign with Raw or was it SmackDown? Because I could have sworn it was Raw, but I might be wrong.
SmackDown.
Okay.
Ooh, I believe that SmackDown women's side is loaded. Then,
So if you're gonna bring somebody up from NXT to face Rhea, I'm thinking, what's her face? Nikita Lyons. Because, you don't see that?
No.
I don't think she has enough fanfare anymore. Like, she was just...
Not even that. Yeah. She's also not good enough. Just point blank period. She's not good enough.
But cake.
I mean...
But cakes.
That's an Attitude Era match booking style right there, where you just put the two hot girls together.
Exactly.
See what happens. That's Attitude Era enough, and I'm like, I think we're in a progressive state with women's wrestling right now, where we can't go back.
I mean, the only person I can think of just won at Stand and Deliver, but also that will take some time.
Yeah.
But I also think it makes sense not to have Becky win. Because it's again, like you mentioned, it's kind of like the whole Charlotte thing. It's like people are going to get tired of seeing Becky in this title picture. So it, in a way, it was one of the better decisions.
See, I don't think so, because she hasn't been. You know what I mean? Like, Rhea's held the title for so long, nobody else has been in the picture.
Oh, as far as being like a real, like a perspective, like to actually be a threat.
Right.
I mean, that's fair. How long has her title reign been now?
A year.
Yeah.
It's been a year.
And her character is positioned as just being that one, and she's run through the whole roster. It's like,
but that's also, if you remember back then, remember when China was women's champion? She did the same thing. She ran through every single woman in the Divas division.
Yeah.
You remember how that resulted?
Not the point, but...
kind of the point.
Yeah, because you're unfortunately going to get there. History has a tendency to repeat itself.
Yeah.
And see, like, again, like what the proposition is, yeah, you have to give her a free 6 months to where you build.
Mm-hmm. It's either that or you put her in a position where she just is fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Right? And that only comes in the form of what? Triple threats, mm-hmm. Fatal four ways, something like that. A bigger match where she doesn't necessarily have to go down in order to lose the title.
Right.
Yeah.
And even in then, like,
ooh, endings chamber like that. The chamber matches.
I was going to say, endings like that are endings that I feel the company is trying to step away from a bit. Mm-hmm.
You mean the Triple H save his look match where he doesn't get pinned, yeah, and someone up the other person, yeah, in Triple Threat gets pinned?
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, if, like I said, we're in a position where it looks like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
The second match, night one.
Tag team, what was it? What were they calling it? The six-pack match or... Yeah, the six-pack ladder match, which had featured A-Town Down, The Awesome Truth.
A-Town Down Under, to be exact.
A-Town Down Under. I couldn't even tell you who else was in this. Tommaso DIY. And then
Judgment Day.
And then you had...
The New Day.
And then you also had... What's the tag team between...
New Catch Republic.
There we go. Yep. I was trying so hard to get Pete Dunne's and their tag... Because I love Tyler Bate, too. But I could not remember their tag team name for the life of me. Mm-hmm. But what a good ladder match that made me miss the Mitt B being at WrestleMania.
So many good spots.
This match is one of the definitions of long-term storytelling. Because if you think about it, if you think back then with R-Truth, remember, I forget which Rumble it was. Remember how like he entered the Rumble, pulled out that ladder, put it in the ring, and then just went up and went like...
I think that was last year's.
No, it was before. It was a couple years ago.
Oh, man, I thought that was last year's.
This is just a continuation of Truth not knowing where he is.
Oh, yeah.
Not knowing what to do, right? Because they played again on the him not knowing that this isn't a regular tag match.
Yes. Oh my God, that was hilarious.
Being tagged in, and that played into him doing his pin spot. But the move setup, he FU'd or attitude adjustmented. I'm sorry, I'm old.
Right.
He hit the attitude adjustment to Finn Balor into a ladder.
Mm-hmm. That was, yep,
against the ring post. And everything in my body just fucking... I felt what Finn felt in that moment. Jeez.
And how could you not, man? That's just pain.
Yeah.
After Theory and Grayson Waller grabbed those SmackDown titles, though, and then the way that they fell onto that ladder afterwards...
Yeah, I don't know what it was with these ladders tonight or that night.
Oh, they were so flimsy.
Them ladders was flimsy as hell, bro.
That was the Capri Sun metal that they were using, bro. Like, that shit was folding under the weight of them just climbing.
Didn't a ref get in too to kind of like tell Priest
to hold the ladder?
Stabilize.
No, he told him not to use that ladder because the other side of the ladder, the legs were caving in.
Yeah, they were buckling.
Yeah, and like the refs will go and hold a ladder for you, but he was just letting them know, yo, this shit's about to fall, dog. You got to use a different ladder.
Being a referee, like, hey, bro, I wouldn't do it, but you could do it, but I'm not going to tell you to do it.
But
not even their job is just like, hey, get down, Stronzo.
Yeah.
Shout out to my Assassin's Creed players.
Yeah. You know? So I wasn't mad at how quickly that Austin Theory and Grayson Waller had won, because it put that much more pressure on somebody to go get the other belts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so happy with the results that we got from both sides winning. Like, we could have gone a very serious route with these tag team championships, but I think you put a good heel team to possess the SmackDown belts, and you put a great face team to possess the Raw belts.
And this was Truth's first WrestleMania, I think.
Well, his first WrestleMania win.
Yeah. Yeah. He just wanted to be like his boyhood hero.
His childhood hero, John Cena.
Yeah. I love that they're running with that for the life of them. They should.
It is a key part of the character now.
It is amazing that that's a part of his lore.
No, the fact that he's kept it as a face and a heel means it's never going away.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
It's solidified.
I need to see Ron the Truth Killings walk into AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, anything associated with any type of wrestling, Glow. He bring back anything that's extinct and just
Stardom.
Have just Ron show up on accident. Wait,
just get lost like Zoro from One Piece.
Exactly.
I think he would
just end up there.
Yep.
He's like, this ain't Raw.
He shows up at AEW to try to tag into MJF. Miz, tag my hand. MJF would cuss him the fuck out in the middle of the ring, and then he would have to leave because security came and got him.
I see him doing it in TNA more so.
Oh, yeah. He's like, where's Jeff? Where's AJ? Where's Samoa Joe? Where's Christopher Daniels?
Or, like, mistaking Dolph
for
somebody.
He's got to ask for somebody who's left the company, like, 12 years ago and is, like, at home eating popcorn. Like,
where's Shark Boy?
Exactly.
Who is under Shark Boy's mask like Shark now, Boy. Though? Because Shark Boy has many reincarnations.
He just comes out, hey, look, y'all, I'm Suicide.
Oh, God.
Damn, with that Suicide. Stone Cold Steve Austin voice.
All right. So, what was match three of night one?
Match three of night one immediately following was the Rey Mysterio and Andrade Cien Almas against Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio.
Can I say, I, for one, am genuinely... I just want to say, I, for one, am genuinely surprised that Rey Mysterio did not get betrayed in this match. I'm so used to him getting betrayed like Sting that I was like, I was waiting for the moment. I was like, is it going to be Carlito? Is it Andrade? Like, my thought was, because I thought the Carlito turning was too easy, right? I was thinking that Andrade was a mole.
Oh, like, yeah.
Or
Andrade who attacked Dragon Lee, in that he did that specifically because he knew if he saved Rey at that moment that Rey would take him on as a partner, and then he would turn on Rey and make it basically 3-on-1 in the match. But it didn't happen.
Or,
at least not yet. We gotta wait till Friday.
Or, if you're thinking mole, who was Andrade's manager?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Zelina definitely could play a key part in this, and I thought that her and Andrade could have walked out together in the most heelish fashion on Rey Mysterio up the ramp to a sea of boos from Philadelphia.
It only works with Zelina if Andrade stays on the bad side, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're both over on Rey's, it would just be like a weak turn. It'll be like, yeah, we decided to be bad together. Like, yeah, relax.
We're getting the band back together, guys. Sorry at your expense.
I do like the idea of playing with the fact that Legado del Fantasma's other members are Andrade's former team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's stuff that can be done there.
Yep.
The fact that Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo were with Andrade before he left the company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. I feel like it's been so long.
Because they were trying to be, like, a six-man or whatever, because Zelina was trying to bring them in and, like, put them under
Zelina
their wing.
Because Andrade needed... assistants.
Yeah.
But they were just like, they were just guys dressed up, right? Like how Jinder Mahal had the Singh brothers, right? Like
no. They were,
okay. I didn't even know if they were real wrestlers. I don't remember that era before, right before Andrade left.
They had this like weird gimmick where like I think they had taken over like the whole Kiss Cam thing, whatever, and they were like trying to be
This was before that, because they weren't Los Lotharios until after he left.
I thought it was before.
No, it was after. Because at first they were separate. Like you had to look up to find out that they were cousins at first. Angel Garza was always a heel and Humberto Carrillo was a face. Then,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. Then, when they brought the team together, they just showed up behind him and they were, you know, finally addressed as cousins on screen. And, they didn't really even have matching ring gear until after Andrade left.
Yeah. Where they, so I think, like, I remember that
the tearaway pants.
Yeah, I was like, they attempt
naked.
No, we gotta talk.
But yeah, that was a pretty decent match. I did have a moment at the end of the match where I was like, who the fuck are these guys?
Right. But then the Agua Fresca, like, spot, dude. We gotta talk about that. Launching this.
We can recap
this at the end because we have more to talk about with the advertising. We can just tackle the advertising in one.
But we also got to talk about Andrade and Rey Mysterio's double stacked crossbody. That was sick. Nice.
That was fucking sick.
And then you had what's his face? Which one was it? Joaquin Wilde just like fucking do his like Superman shit.
Mhm. What? You want to go viral?
For real.
That hot, he still gets the
every
hype.
Every single time. Come on, it's gotta be an Instagram clip. Fling. Boop. Every time he said that so far, it's not been a clip.
It should be.
And then, man, the next match we have on deck was Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
Wait, go back.
You wanna go back? Okay.
Go back. So, before the mention of who the fuck were they, during the match, two big white guys wearing Eagles colored Rey Mysterio masks jumped in and started helping when Rey was, you know, getting jumped. And as I'm watching this, I'm racking my brain trying to think, what wrestler is shaped like that has no tattoos?
Right?
And the whole time I'm like, what is going on? I'm watching with my friend. And I have the most confused look on my face. And he rips off his mask, and they both rip off their masks, and it's Jason Kelsey and
Lane Johnson,
the other guy.
Hey, that's an all-pro right tackle, sir.
I know. Let me do my job. Okay.
I'm all the football fan in me hurt for that one. I'm sorry.
I know who the fuck that is, but it's Jason Kelsey and the other guy, and all I can think of is, oh yeah, Philly. But that was so random. So fucking random.
Okay, so I didn't expect football, to be honest. I didn't expect football. I expected hockey or
how could you not? How could you? All right, put this in context. The colors of WrestleMania and the colors of many, many outfits were just Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, and it could have been a hockey team. It could have been somebody from the Phillies. Like, you don't know that.
Joel Embiid.
What color are the
They're red, white, and blue. They're pure American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But and then what color are the Eagles?
Whatever.
He's got you.
I know, green.
What color were those masks?
Whatever.
That green was.
It could have been hockey. It could have been baseball.
The Flyers, yeah. The orange and black. And then there's. Dude, imagine Joel Embiid and Jason. The roof would have blown off the place.
This entire event was football coded.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah, this entire event was just Eagles coded. And that's simply because, like, out of all the sports in Philly, Eagle Mania is well alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you Fade.
The Eagles. Go watch the Eagles.
And I bet you Fade was flipping his shit when he saw that unmasking.
Oh yeah,
man, probably.
The group I was watching it with, we all automatically assumed it was Travis and Jason, but when we found out it was Lane Johnson, we're like, wait, the fuck is Lane Johnson doing there?
Man. All right, night one, match four.
Night one, match four. We had main event Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
Can we talk about Lil Wayne for a quick second, though?
Oh, dude, that was a sight to be withheld. I did not see the fit. I'm glad he did a milli. I'm glad he got a bag. But, sir, oh, no.
Man.
To see Lil Wayne be old. Old physically, but old in culture, like where he's not the top guy anymore, and you got all these other lols running around, his offspring of his character as a rapper. I'm so sad. I'm so sad that Lil Wayne's a legacy act for me now.
And this is just basically, hi, I'm old now, and I'm struggling to handle it.
Yeah, very much so. And then we're going to talk about another old rapper that was on the next day's show. Getting another bag. Oh, man. That Lil Wayne doing his entrance. I love that Amelie was the song choice. It made me want to put on my iPod.
I thought he was going to do his new song. Because he did release a new song.
Yeah, with Tyga, correct?
He did?
No, not with Tyga. He released a different song.
Oh, got
but
it.
But he released a new song? I didn't know that.
He released two albums last year. A solo album and a album with 2 Chainz.
He did the Carter 5 recently.
Nah, it was something different.
Oh.
But yeah, he's been making music. He still makes music. It's just, you know, his audience grew up.
Yeah.
It's a thing where you capture new fans up to a certain point, and then you just have the fans that stick with you. And the wrestling is kind of the same way, honestly.
But I am a fan that he did Jey Uso's intro.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. I'm an old rapper. Love it. Jey Uso. All right. Going to get into it. Main event, Jey Uso's here.
And he walked him down, too. I was just like, all right.
Oddly enough, from a musical standpoint, I wish I was the one who mixed, because the BPM for a milli goes right into Jey Uso's theme so well. If it was mixed correctly, that switch is amazing.
Oh, man.
But
attention to detail trips.
Man, attention to detail. But, yeah, this match so far has been catching a lot of heat. Catching a lot of heat online. Yeah. People are calling this their least favorite match.
It could have been better.
WrestleMania.
It really could have been better.
It could have been.
Yeah, I think it's literally like the consensus one match that everyone has come to like, you know what? This is the one that kept it from being a 10 out of 10. The whole entire event.
Do you think it was a timing issue, or do you think they could have made better use of the time they had? Because it seemed like they didn't have...
I think it was a timing
as
issue.
...as much time as they wanted.
Yeah, it definitely felt like they had to crunch that match. So when you have a time crunch on a match that probably could have been longer, more emotional build because it's two Blood Brothers twins fighting with a video package in front, that probably took up some of their time that they shouldn't have taken from them because they should have been properly accounted for. I think that if you have to get crunched, I think a lot more shit has to happen in that time.
Crazy, though, is that that match time-wise was the same amount of time as the tag match with Ray and Andrade. Time was the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say if it was really a time crunch or not, but it felt like the way and the speed and how the flow of that whole match went, it felt like it was a time crunch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm used to Ray's matches, like even in shorter matches, because you're going to get something explosive, right? Especially with the type. Let's face it, we have a bunch of luchadors in the ring.
Yeah.
So no matter how much time they have, it's a spot fest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fucking spot fest.
No matter who it is.
you aren't going to get a spot fest out of those two. So they have to really rely on different wrestling skills. Mm-hmm. They have to rely on like in-ring storytelling and stuff like that. So aside from the just like general move trading and stuff like that, do you believe that they sold a good story with this match?
So I think when you have brothers at odds, I think it has to be a little bit more aggressive and hard hitting, not spot fest, but I think there has to be more knock you the fuck down kind of moves. Like, someone's got to land a super kick and one's got to sell it to where it's like, ow, like, you really got my, like, I got to check my teeth. You know what I mean? That's got, they got to have those spots. It doesn't have to be a super, like, blow away luchador match, but it has to be like, oh, you're my brother, but you really hit me. Like, it's got to be one of those. So I think they should have done more of those little moments in the match where they look at each other in shock, like, oh, you really hit me. I'm going to tell mom. Like, it should have been.
Like, literally, I'm going to tell mom.
Yeah, I'm going to tell dad on you. Like, they should have, yeah, we should have definitely had more of those.
And to be honest, I think they should have involved Rikishi more into the match, because it's kind of like, okay, you have your two twin sons fighting each other, so you kind of got to choose a side type deal, you know?
Asking him to come out to a lot.
It is.
Honestly.
But,
like,
I like the
Brody didn't show up to his son's wedding, bro.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I mean, there were conditions. It was a very quick thing, but we know he's a man who let his sons out into the world and are very much so letting them do their own thing. You know what I mean? And I feel like specifically when it comes to wrestling, he knows that it is very much so their time to shine, like his generation had their time, you know?
Yeah.
True.
Not so much relying on the backs of, and not to say that would be the case, but this moment is their moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, not their moment with dad. They can have another moment with dad. But this is 1 year ago, like last year's WrestleMania, they came out of it saying that they really just wanted this match, and this is the match that they've dreamed of as children. Unfortunately, people are calling it the worst match of Mania.
Yeah.
Which honestly isn't saying that it's a bad match, but because it wasn't a bad match, but all of the matches were great.
Yeah, it's the one kid in class that ruined the curve. Mm-hmm. Like, of the grading scale.
Like, how dare you get a B+?
Yeah. This was a open book, take-home test, fucking exam, and you got a B+.
No, this AP course. It's an AP course. Let's keep it solid. This is fucking, this is Mania.
Yeah.
But yeah, we, as a result, pretty much what we expected out of that.
Yeah.
Living up to their 2K ratings with Jay being a solid 6 points higher than Jimmy.
Bruh.
Yeah.
It matters.
It does.
All right.
And then,
so, match five, night one, what we got?
Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi defeat Damage Control.
Okay, man. So did you see the jokes of for the girls for their entrances for Jade, Naomi, and Bianca?
No.
So there was a trending joke saying that Naomi missed the assignment, because I guess Bianca and Jade were dressed up as X-Men, and then you have Naomi over here looking like Raiden with the hat. Yeah.
Oh, man. That could have been choreographed better, but I like that they used the Bobby Roode.
That was the coming down.
Even though Sean did it first, but I like that they used the platform still. Like, they know they have the device still for it.
Yeah.
But that the intros were awesome. I loved Asuka's face paint. I loved Bianca and all. I loved the outfits. It was really cool.
We're in this unfortunate reality where, and people have said it on Twitter, back on SmackDown, actually, when they did the WrestleMania point. This is Destiny's Child.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes.
Unfortunately, Naomi is Michelle.
Yeah.
I love Naomi. I love, love, love. I love Michelle.
But
unfortunately, Naomi.
Yeah.
But good match.
I want good things for Naomi.
Good.
Know, I'm so glad she's back.
Apparently, yeah. Mark Henry was like shitting on Kyrie the whole time, though.
On who?
Like, on Kyrie Sane.
Mark Henry is weird, though. Like, Mark Henry is objectively weird.
Yeah.
And he's like a just wild yes man sometimes. Like, I don't know. Can't deal with it.
Yeah, no. And like, and then you're on the other side, brother. You chose that side. You just be over there.
Not even that. It's like, do your thing. But the way he was catching any verbal bullet that was lobbed at Vince or the rest of WWE, and then to turn around one day and be like, you know what? I actually had some problems with him.
Yeah.
Like, well, whatever. You missed the window.
Anybody count how long Jade was in that match before the match ended?
Oh, man.
Because it was super quick.
Yeah.
Nope, but it's to be expected. Honestly. Jade, even in AEW, Jade was treated as Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Goldberg.
Hey, but that kick. Hey, but that bicycle kick.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Not only that, but the homage to fucking... Dude, okay, let's go back before the end of the match. That Bianca Belair hair whip on Asuka.
Oh, the sound! Oh my god.
Man, nope. No, thank you. No, thank you.
That's one thing. I like that the hair whip is not being overused in the main show. Like, that's one thing I will say about transitioning into the main show is that a lot of the more extreme acts of the wrestlers are, I won't say toned down, but they're used more sparingly, mm-hmm. and that makes them feel more potent, right? So everything from the hair whip to even Pete Dunne's joint manipulation, like, he used to really, really get into it, like, every match. Now you'll catch him doing it like once a match, slightly. So if he does step into the, oh, I'm just going to push you into the corner and just start breaking your shit, it feels different now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, protect your stronger moves. You know, protect those signatures, right? I like that we haven't seen a hair whip from Bianca in so long. It just made the fact that she did it at Mania so much more special.
Yes. Dude, do that.
Otherwise, I would have been like, nah, she did that shit Monday. Like,
and see, like, what was cool about it is that everybody knows in the building, like, that's a potential to happen at any point. And then to see it finally just come to contact, and then Asuka is selling it so great, like, the stinging. Oh, such a good moment in the match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you gonna have to sew shit. That shit hurts.
Yep. Oh man.
But
every
the big thing they protected both Asuka and Kairi though, because Dakota Kai took that pin.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have Jade Cargill reference LL Cool J was hilarious. Him and his weird ass fucking mannerisms.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was another fun match.
Yep. And then following that, I don't even want to call it the junior main event of the night because it's a main event. Any other fucking card is the Intercontinental Championship match between Sami Zayn and Gunther.
That is match 5, night 1, right?
Yes, sir. Right below the main event.
I love the lead-in, especially with Sami's entrance.
Oh,
where
man.
With his wife and his kid, and then you have Chad Gable, and Chad's like, bro, you owe me for this. And then, like, right at the end, right before he got to Gorilla, you have KO just right there.
Yep, what he needed to see.
I almost cried.
It matched, I like the fact that, you know, they did it for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Solidify that friendship, and it's good lore for people who are watching, right? Mm-hmm. People who know that these are those boys, and they're just split up by circumstance, but they really care for each other. And it, I think, you know, especially with it happening again in Night 2, it gave a bit of hope for Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we're kind of jumping the gun talking about Night 2 a little bit, but it gave a bit of hope for Kevin, because it's like, you know, giving that blessing to the homie, you know, the blessing of Inarius, so to speak. I've been playing Diablo, but
fair.
Yeah, no, it was a good match. It was a great match. I actually appreciate that this just kind of was played straight.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a really good wrestling match with no fall creep.
Oh, no,
you know, and I think that is what. Okay, it's too much to say that this is what this title has represented because of Gunther, but actual good wrestling is what mm-hmm. this title has been represented by mm-hmm. for in the past almost 2 years.
Yep.
Right. Like, this has become the wrestler's title now. And it, finally, someone has taken the IC title and, like, actually elevated it. So shout out to Gunther for that.
666 days of wreckage.
Right.
As soon as they said 666 days, I'm like, oh no, he's losing tonight. That's too good of a number to leave on.
Yep.
That's too good of a number to leave on.
But can we get like a different design now? Because I really don't like this design.
I actually like it. I like the IC title. I like it more than the only title I actually genuinely don't like is the US title.
Oh, that one's ugly. Yeah. No, that one that is atrocious.
But I think the IC title is the only one that looks like an old school title belt.
Yeah. It does have that vintage appeal to it, because again, that's one of your most long standing belts in the company history mm-hmm. anyways.
I mean, because there's no more WWE title. It's Undisputed.
So, yeah, it's Undisputed.
So that's gone. And then same thing with the women's, because the women's is now the women's Undisputed.
Mm-hmm. And then you've also seen too many changes. I did like the gold and red when Trish Stratus and them had it back then. And then I didn't like the Divas Butterfly. That wasn't my favorite belt, like, when it switched to you. Then,
Divas Butterfly was stupid.
Yeah, and then it switched to the more serious, more modern look that it has now.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fan of them getting the equal recognition of the belt look to the men's.
Yeah.
Like, I'm big fan of, like, the... I like that the Universal Championship on both sides has cohesion to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has some, like, a visual, like, equality to it.
I was hoping they were going to bring back the old world heavyweight title, but
the gold one, the big gold plate.
I
love the big gold one. That big gold plate was so gaudy, but it looks so cool.
But like throughout that match, I felt every single chop.
Ooh,
like I was just like, yep. Oh
no, I felt that power bomb.
Yeah.
That's how one was nuts.
Like,
yeah.
It's going down. It's like, man is chopping his life away.
Yeah, chopping at the tree.
Oh my goodness! And we've seen some moves in this Mania that people just haven't busted out in WWE in years, mm-hmm. years. Like a Michinoku driver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
Shit. And then the Michinoku driver, the last one that was memorable is the one that he did to Kevin Owens where his spine looked like it broke on the ladder. Mm-hmm. That was the other Michinoku driver that made, when you said years, that was the first thing I thought of was, oh man, Kevin Owens' spine on that ladder bent over like a wet scooby noodle. Yeah. Yep. That.
You felt every single, you were just like,
back. For real. But no, that brain buster in the corner, beautiful. Beautiful moment. I didn't think that. And then I saw the clips of online, the El Generico like montage of doing that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's a great thing that he went in deep into his bag to pull out the IC title win.
Man, All right, and
final match of the night, the setup.
Final match of night one.
Rock and Roman against Cody and Seth.
For sure.
Intros, man. Intros took so long.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, man.
As soon as the Rocks, we saw the Rocks intro, and everybody was all like, well, that's where the budget went.
Yep. Cool as fuck, though. Cool as fuck.
I mean, that's where the Undertaker budget went. Or the Stone Cold
budget.
The Stone Cold budget.
Yeah. That was Stone Cold Steve Austin's money right there, man.
I'm convinced that they called Stone Cold and he's like, you wanna come up? And he's like, what?
Yeah. Philadelphia, what?
Just hit him with all what?
120,000 people. What? What's your budget looking like? What? I need to see the numbers. What?
They just gave him a number and he's like, hell no.
Yep. Hung up that phone.
And he ended up staying home with his cat. That's literally what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
But I have to admit, though, I didn't expect The Rock to be, like, his physique. Because it gave me, like, a quick flashback to when I started watching again back in the 90s.
It gave you the jitters, did it?
Just a tad.
You're like, oh man, who is this handsome Samoan person?
But no, person? I was just, it was more, he's not
fucking. Take me to your island, Maui.
Huh.
Hate it. No, I expected him to still be like super bulked up like the way that he was. Mm-hmm. And then seeing how he looked now and then comparing him back in the day, it's like, nothing's changed. I'm just upset I'm just upset that he no longer has that Brahma Bull tattoo. He covered it up.
Oh yeah, no, it's been like that for years now. I noticed that a while ago. That was his signature, man. I love that tattoo.
And that it gave me that flashback for like a quick second, like, holy shit.
And that's been covered up for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like really seeing it and then seeing him walk down that ramp, it's like, the fuck?
Seeing him change did it for you. You're all, this is not the Rock I remember.
So, exactly.
Overall, how are we feeling about this match?
Really good setup. Really good setup.
I was upset. I initially was upset when the ending happened. I was like, there's no fucking way. I was pissed. I was like, this is some bullshit. He's not, like, I was telling my husband, too. We're like, Cody's not going to finish the story because this is going to be all fucked up and shit. I was pissed.
See, man. I was just happy there wasn't solo interference on night one.
Yep.
Because, man, I thought that match was going to have it for, I thought they were going to throw the book to get their way. I thought it was going to be Solo shows up night one and night two, and you, like, you know what I mean? It's that predictable mm-hmm. shit. I thought it was going to do it. I'm happy it didn't happen. I'm happy I was wrong. And it was a 2-on-2. Let's just get it in and see what we can make happen here.
Right. Pretty nasty work in that match, but it was a good match. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The Rock talking to Mama Rhodes with the belt, mm-hmm. taunting her.
Oh, yeah.
Her cussing back at him. That bullshit that she shot out at the end was so loud, and I love it. That the Cuban temper that Cody Rhodes has been trying to put over for years now, we finally see it.
Exactly.
My mother with the Cuban temper and his lisp, and I'm all, aw. He's so cute. He loves his mom.
Yeah.
And then
gotta love Mama Rhodes.
And then Brandy's dad being right next to her to show the family unit was pretty cool.
Just straight face though, too. Just like,
yeah. Dude, that
I'm here for the boy,
right?
That's what his whole look was.
Oh man. And then the psychology of the match was really good though. The Rock really exercising that final boss shit where he's screaming at the ref, don't you fucking count, I'll fuck around, your ass is gonna be fired if you count.
Yeah, like, that I was like, you're pulling your fucking corporate card, you piece of shit.
Stop cursing, Rock.
Yeah, stop saying the bad words. Stop. We have the Prime sponsorship. You're going to blow our bag.
Not really, considering the dude who is in the Prime bottle dropped an F-bomb, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about that on the next night.
We'll talk about that. But yeah, so this match was pretty good. And of course, naturally, we already knew what the ending of this was going to be. You can't tease Bloodline rules and then not give us Bloodline rules.
Yeah. And even then, like, it's the ambiguity of it all. It's like, well, what's that really going to entail? Like, you left up a lot of suspension and disbelief where you're like, well, what's that mean? What's it going to look like? And you really look forward to the match once you got the confirmation.
I just, you know what I need more than anything right now from WWE? I need a video of, like, just anybody, anybody. It would fit with the New Day, but honestly, anybody just walking from the ring, rubbing their shit, like, why do we always end up with so many kendo sticks around here?
For real. Like, just that head scratching, like, bro, who's taking inventory? Like, just that, like, just, this is not safe.
Is this the homage?
I like chairs, I understand. Tables, I understand. Who's putting kendo sticks under the ring? And then you just see Steve Blackman in the background just snickering.
Say. With Sandman standing right across from him. Sandman's got to have a lit cigarette, too. And you just, like, there's the side, like, like that evil laugh. You got to have them both just, like, it's almost like you see the evil guy just sharpening the sword, like, in B-roll of those old-school movies. You got to have those two just chilling.
with, like, cigarette in mouth, just in that smirk, just going.
It's like, if they'll even, like, invite Sandman.
I mean... Like,
they won't pay him in rocks.
No.
So...
They can't anymore. Paul would probably have to handle that payroll decision.
Listen, Sandman. You know I love you. But, we're just going to give you the cash.
Oh, Sabu and then was you the get chair. It yourself. That's right. Sabu had the
Sabu
chair.
Sabu is a chair.
Yeah. No, they got to have that New Day. Yeah, it's got to be Xavier Rhodes posing the question to Kofi, and Kofi's really pondering it. And then Sandman walks in from off camera. I heard there's a problem around here with the cigarette in his mouth. And they pan over and they look at him like in fear, like, nope, we're good.
How'd you guys go through all that hardcore stuff back in the day?
The coke was fresh.
Got to reference New Jack. Rest in peace.
Oh, New Jack. Aww. Oh, man.
So, overall, WrestleMania Night 1, how are we feeling?
That was the 9 out of 10. That was the 9 out of 10, Matt, night.
9 out of 10 at night.
Yeah, for me.
There's a lot of buildup into the next night, say the least. There was a lot.
Dude, Seth Rollins taking every bump at the end like a champ, getting speared through a wall, and then having to go segueing into night 2, the first match of the night. Man, they put Seth through fucking hell to go to be first match. That was an insane.
I need to get my soundboard together for covering night 2.
Yeah.
Just because I need that. I saw the meme. Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Where it was John Cena. I did my part. Undertaker.
Oh, no.
I did my part. Seth Rollins. I didn't do fucking shit.
Yeah, it's got to be Seth doing it. Man, though, the bumps that they made Seth go through just to have a title defense match 1 of night 2 is insane.
But he's also been working hurt. That's the thing.
I was going to say, it made sense. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing, is it made sense, but it did a lot for his character. We'll get into that more tomorrow, but when we cover night 2.
Yeah.
But, man, I myself, this was a solid, like, 9.5 for me. Overall, I loved it as an event. I'm loving the new camera angles that they're using. I love that they're not cutting away from Impact.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is one of the better things we're getting. It's like following through with the move has much more impact than switching to another angle as soon as they hit.
Oh, man, I know.
We're benefiting from it right now. We're in an era where people who are fans of a modern style of wrestling cinema, I say cinema, but wrestling cinema.
Yes, Mr. Scorsese.
This was our movie time. WrestleMania is basically our movie time.
And it was just a taste of what
a taste.
Of what's going to happen. Like, for the rest.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
And also, like, I'm still going to be pretty cautious about going into this new era of wrestling, because let's be honest, still pretty much, it's not the old guard, but the guard is old enough. Let's be real.
Yeah. It's got some tattered of the banners and flags.
Right. So we'll see what happens. So far, they've been doing great by the new talent. But we got to see how that lasts. We got to see how these stories play out. We got to see how these characters are maintained over the next year, which is the most important thing. Of course, there'll be organic growth and things like that. But the power is in not just Paul's, but a lot of new hands right now. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think for a lot of these guys, these are like the Hall of Fame building years, to where they make the case for when they retire. Like, their run at this time and peak of the new era for them, that they can legitimize their place in the WWE Hall of Fame later on, too. Like, just...
like, yeah. If anything, it definitely is going to... because this is a benchmark era, and a lot of eyes are on the product right now. In the next 2 years, whoever makes the impact, it has... I won't say staying power, but they will be remembered with this time.
Oh yeah.
So as of right now, our Cody, Rhea, these are, you know, faces of right now. And they have solidified, not necessarily Hall of Fame status, but for sure that staying power, right? We know that people outside of the business can recognize some of these people now. And that's really what's key to this. That's really what's key to making stars. That's really what we haven't had through the PG era. You know, once Cena left, we haven't had that one person that the everyday person can recognize and be all like, oh, I know that. That's a wrestler. Mm-hmm. That's this person. Like, we had the perfect era with The Rock and Stone Cold and people like that, where my grandma knew Stone Cold and stuff.
My mom remembers Stone Cold. My mom even remembers Taker.
Right. Shoot, my aunt, my grandma's sister knows all of them. Like, she still watches the product to this day.
Right. So, like, when I bring up wrestling to people, I pay attention to the people that, and I'm talking people who just haven't watched in years. I bring up wrestling. And even if they never watched and they're just trying to connect, they'll bring up certain names, like, of course, Hogan or something like that. If they're of a certain age, if they're a little younger around our age, they'll bring up, oh, yeah, I used to watch wrestling. I know wrestling, like Mankind and Stone Cold and Undertaker, right? Mm-hmm. We're coming to the point where Cody is going to be named in that. You know, Rhea Ripley is named in that. Bianca Belair is named in that. And it's a beautiful thing when the average person can connect with a wrestling fan just based on the stardom of the wrestlers. So
yeah,
I'm excited. Same. I'm personally excited to see where we go. But also, we're still in that limbo. It can go either way. I understand wrestling is probably never going to be as popular as it was in the 90s. But
they're trying to get there. That's the big thing. They're trying to get back. They're trying to get back to that.
They just need to be to the point where it is no longer just that weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is just another thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a show that people are fans of. They have their fandom, and a very unique fandom, because it could be anybody from a grizzled biker to the dentist.
Yeah. Like, hey, we have a common interest. Oh, yeah, do you remember when CM Punk did that? I sure do.
Mm-hmm. So, this has been the coverage for Night 1 of WrestleMania 40. We are a new podcast. If you got this far, I'm pretty sure you know that by now. We're down a member right now for the first part. The man's out getting beer, and hopefully he will be back soon. But until then, we're going to take ourselves a little breaky break from the kickback. I am your host with the most, giving a toast. Cheers. Deontay. I've been here with Joe. I'm going to give you a cool intro, I promise.
It's all good. I'll take what you can get, or what you can give.
Joe, not a hoe. Here we go. Like, okay, I'm throwing that away.
No, just what it is, Joe. It'll be not it is. That's all I need. What it is, Joe.
What it is, Joe.
Yeah, what's up? And I'll just come through with the what's up.
What's up?
Yep.
And Rose.
Money, money, money.
Are you cool with your first names? You guys want nicknames or something?
Nah,
or?
I'm not creative right now enough to get one.
Ring names?
We'll let the lore build.
No, okay. We'll let the lore mine build. Mine is fine.
Nope.
Mine is totally fine.
No, nope, because... I'll let my lore build. The fans will decide.
No. Well, mine is totally fine because of the whole fact that Shane happened to not be on the bad side of all this bullshit. Mm. So that's on another.
Yeah, I'm not calling you that shit on this podcast. You are fried thinking I'm going to say yeah. that.
And see me, I think when I commit to streaming, I'll go with Jorilla Warfare as my thing, but we'll see.
Jorilla Warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that shit out
see,
loud.
See, exactly. Either. Well, that's why I'm like, I'll say it we myself. Got,
we got, it's Joe and Rumble Rose over here. There you go. Bam. All right.
For
hey,
now.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. It has been the super kickback. First official episode. If you're listening to this, chances are you might hear another episode first, but we recorded this first.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting you know. You know,
it's getting there.
You're in on the inside. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're bottom floor. We got to give you the information.
You took a peek in one of the rooms that we got going on in the kickback. Yeah. Back
you
there.
Cracked the door open. The door open. That's what it is.
Hopefully we've become part of your dream rotation.
Right. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. Just look for a Super Kickback or SKB Team. I have to actually be clear on what we're named everywhere before I give this, hey, just follow us everywhere here thing. But we'll work that out. Search for us. As far as this audio podcast, yeah. Find us anywhere you get your podcast and find us online. We are on all the socials, I believe. And if I'm not, let me know. Give me a poke. I'll fix that. Anyway, I don't have a cool sign-off for this. Anybody have a cool sign-off for this?
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the fuck out of here.
I mean, hey, take a drink with you. Grab a plate. We'd love to see you again, but we're closing up shop. So, peace.
Deuces.
Shut us down, but I tell them they can blow me. It's that cold heat. Got me shivering, chest burning, head tan.